The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Faith in Christ is forward-looking. The past and the present point toward the future, to the coming endless day. No evening, no morning, just endless day in the light of Christ, in the presence of the Father, with the Holy Spirit and the innumerable saints. Seen through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection, the future looks bright, even as the present descends into darkness and death. The labor contractions of the new creation seem to be growing in intensity and in frequency. The daily headlines look more and more like a checklist for the apocalypse. I'm just waiting for famine and plague and pestilence to show up. It's so terribly easy. It's tempting, really, to get caught up in the despair. To abandon all hope for the future, to live in the present with a "let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die" kind of attitude. And so in chapter 16 of John's Gospel, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his impending death and resurrection and ascension. He was leaving the world, visibly speaking, and going back to the Father from whence he came. He was set to accomplish the Father's plan and purpose in giving his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world. And he would rise again, too, showing the power of his death over death itself, showing that death and the grave had lost their sting. And he would ascend to his glory, glorifying our humanity in his. That's your future. Bodily resurrection to life and glory through the risen Christ. When you despair of the future, though, when you act like there is no hope and no glory and no life awaiting you, you betray your own unbelief. You've forgotten the past. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ now reigns. You fail to embrace your present sufferings as a sign of future glory, as the birth pangs of the new creation that they truly are. So when you despair of your future, You failed to grasp in faith the present now of your salvation. Because in your baptism, now you already have everything in Christ. You have been crucified with Him. You have been raised with Him. You have been glorified with Him. Everything that He died to win for you, you already have in Christ. The fullness of it is held in trust for you until you take full possession of it in your resurrected flesh on the last day, though. So our faith in Christ is anchored in the past. It is connected to a cross raised up outside Jerusalem, the tree on which the incarnate Son of God gave His life for you. And that's the nexus of your faith. This is why the church proclaims the Lord's death until He comes. This is why the Eucharist is so central to the worship of the Christian. The Lord's Supper is the very point of your baptism, that you are united with Jesus in His death. That once for all people, once for all times, death on a cross is yours. Without the death of Jesus, your faith has no point. There's nothing concrete to grasp. Without the sacrificial death of Jesus, your faith would be nothing more than a philosophy for life. And philosophy, as fun and interesting as it can be, can't raise you from the dead. It can't change the course of the future. And that's what's so incredibly toxic about many of the religions that pass themselves off as Christianity in our world. They're focused entirely on the present. They're focused entirely on the self. It's all about now. It's all about me. The reality of now, though, is that we live by faith, not by sight. We live in love toward God and love one another in spite of and in tension with the lovelessness in our own hearts that really only cares for ourselves. So what so often passes for religion today is nothing more than pandering to the self. In past ages, people would bow down before idols of wood and stone, but in the present age, we bow down before the mirror and worship the self. So even faith itself becomes idolatry when we speak of having a great faith or a strong faith. The question is, faith in what? What's the object of that faith? I mean, I can say, I trust, but you'll ask, what do you trust in? In whom do you trust? I might trust that the elevator works, but me simply trusting that doesn't make it go up and down. So the death of Jesus on His cross is the anchor point of your faith. Without that death, faith is really nothing more than wishful thinking, and it's nothing more than clinging tightly to a rope that's tied to nothing. So the rope that connects you to Christ's cross is your baptism. It's a rope that extends from the wounded side of Jesus straight to you right there. Now is the time of your salvation. That now is fraught with tension, though. And we Lutherans are at least honest enough to acknowledge that tension and speak of it in a number of ways, because we are both now, both sinners in Adam and saints in Christ. We are simultaneously, at the same time, saint and sinner. We are now both dead in ourselves and alive in Christ. We are now residents of this earthly city and citizens of the heavenly city that comes down from above. We now have all things in Christ. but we don't possess all things for ourselves just yet. We now have peace in Christ, and yet, as Jesus told his disciples, we also have trouble and tribulation and hardship. There is now, and there's not yet. So on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus spoke to his disciples of a coming day when the Father would be known plainly, when Jesus would no longer be the intermediary for their prayers, but they would deal directly with the Father, and everything they asked for in his name would be granted. And oh, how often we've been mistaken and we've been misled into thinking that day and hour is now. That all we have to do is add, in the name of Jesus, to whatever we ask, and we'll get it from God like a Coke out of a vending machine. Even the disciples thought that. They said, oh, now you're speaking plainly, and now we know that you know all things, and we believe you. And Jesus looks at him and says, really? Do you think that you now believe? No. The hour has now come when you are going to scatter and you are going to hide and you are going to leave me all alone. That's how great your faith is. So get your eyes off of yourselves and look to me, Jesus says. In me you have peace, but only in me. In the world in which you live, you will have trouble and heartache and sorrow, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The death and resurrection of Jesus has overcome the world. Your crucified and risen Lord now reigns over all things, even though all things don't seem to be under his reign yet. Because you've undoubtedly heard the questions or asked them yourselves. If God is love, why doesn't he? If there is a God, why does he allow? If Christ has already overcome the world, if Christ now reigns over all things at the right hand of the Father, if all things are now under his feet, why is there tribulation and suffering and disaster and disease and death? There really is no simple answer. And any answer is just going to be trite. It's the way of the mind of God. He leaves the old and he leaves the dying in place, even as he brings in the new. He allows the city of man to decay and to collapse under its own idolatries, even as his city comes down from above, glorious as a bride on her wedding day. So the sufferings of the present, together with all of the doubts and all of the ambiguities of living by faith and not by sight, they don't even begin to compare with the glory to be revealed on the last day. And that's what St. John catches a glimpse of in his revelation. A perfected, symmetrical city made of translucent gold, with Israelite gates and apostolic foundations, a city paved in gold unlike anything we've ever seen in this world, transparent as glass, a city of endless day and light illuminated by one thing, Christ, the Lamb, who was slain but lives. It's a city where all of the achievements and all of the good that's done in this life and all of the glories of the nations are seen in the light of Christ without the stain of sin. It's a city with no temple and no sacrament. It's where worshipers see face to face the object of their worship, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb that he has sent for you. And so St. John's vision is a reminder that this city doesn't rise up from below on your work and on your ambition like Babel and its tower. This city comes down from above, whose architect and builder is God. It's a city where nothing unclean shall enter through its gates, nor anyone who is false and detestable. And that would exclude you, and me too, if it were not for the blood of the Lamb and Him writing our names in the baptismal book of life with the blood that flows from His side. So we enter those gates by God's undeserved kindness, by grace, through faith, for Christ's sake. Then we will know in full what we now only experience in part, dimly, here on earth. Then we will see what we now believe. Then every prayer, every petition, every supplication uttered in the name of Jesus will find its yes and its amen. It is as sure as Jesus risen from the dead is sure. It is as sure as the waters of baptism poured out on you. It is as sure as the living and active word of Christ spoken to you. It is as sure as the body and blood of Christ given for you. A past anchored in the death of Christ Jesus. A present lived in baptismal faith. A future filled with joy and peace in the light of Jesus, the one who was and who is to come, who is the same yesterday and today and forever for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.